Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Cameron Kelsey, who is Transportation and Inventory Manager at Adahoan, and Mike Regan, who is co-founder and Chief of Relationship Development at Transact. And today we're going to talk about Adahoan's journey to achieving sustained transportation savings. Now, in our previous episode, we talked about some critical factors to achieving sustained transportation savings, you know, the importance of culture, having accountability. We talked about technology and the role of third-party partners. And we're going to focus today in today's episode on those two parts, you know, the role of technology and the role of managed services and partners. So we're very fortunate to have with us today both Cameron and Mike on the program. So, gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Adrian, it's delightful to be back with you.
Great. So, Cameron, let's start with you. And kind of before we dive into the topic, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, Adahoan, in case there are people out there who are not familiar with the company, and what your current role and responsibilities are there at the company?
Sure. Adahoan Foods is a dehydrated potato manufacturer out of Idaho Falls, Idaho. We produce flavored dehydrated mashed potatoes and casseroles. We sell to all the major grocery retailers. And like you said, I'm the inventory, transportation, and warehousing manager. So I manage all the activities in those three spaces for our company.
Well, you know, in the few times that I've been brave enough to actually go to the supermarket and shop for my family's groceries, I've seen Idahoan's products on the shelves there, and I think we've bought them quite a few times. So
they're really good.
great to have you in the program. Of course, Mike, you know, you're now a returning guest here. I think a lot of folks in the industry know you very well. We had your role there, not only at Transact, but various organizations in the logistics industry. Cameron, just to add a little bit to that, can you give us a snapshot of your transportation operations?
Sure. Out of Idaho, we manage about 4,000 loads a year. We've partnered with about 15 carriers or brokers to handle that freight for us. We've got about 6 distribution centers locally here that we ship out of. And we do 3 modes. We do intermodal, full truckload, and LTL.
Great. So obviously, you know, multiple modes, you know, some level of complexity there with your operations.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back, you know, to before, you know, you started working with Transact, kind of just to start the journey there. I mean, what were some of the, you know, transportation challenges or goals that you were looking to achieve that ultimately led you to partner with Transact?
Sure. One of the goals we had was to have a system that helped us make the right routing decision, you know, looking both at cost and service. The other thing we wanted to do is we wanted to have a system that automated a lot of the more kind of the more administrative tasks, like, you know, tendering to carriers and paying invoices and checking up on loads. So we wanted to automate some of that. As we looked at a partnership, there were a few attributes we looked for. One was we wanted to have someone who was an extension of us. And when you think of a third party, sometimes you worry that they won't care about your business as much as they do. So we needed someone who cared and knew about our business as much as we did. And we also wanted someone who felt comfortable making decisions and executing them and then bringing us into any exceptions or issues that came up along the process.
Yeah, those are some great points. And I think, it echoes a lot of what I hear with other shippers that have, similar situations. I mean, one of the things I hear as well, Cameron, is, in looking for a partner, is, tell us something we don't already know, right? So, educate us on what's happening in the market. Was that another factor for you as well?
Yeah, it was. It was for Adahoan.
Great. So, Mike, I mean, listening to Adahoan's story, obviously you're very involved, with it. I mean, how does their story compare to the stories of other shippers that you work with? I mean, what are some of the, common challenges or threads with some of the other shippers that you work with?
Well, one of the reasons we're excited about working with Cameron and the Adahoan team is because, like other companies we work with, they have an emphasis on a couple of points. First of all, they want to get better. Most important, they see something and they don't accept it as is. They want to get better. That leads them on a journey. You know, Adrian, in our last interview, we talked about the lean journey and all. And lean is really all about, one of the key principles is elimination of waste. One of the things that Cameron and his team have been very good at is to, take a look. Are there ways to do things better through the utilization of technology? And what we see with other companies similar to an Idahoan because they have that desire to get better and because they're not afraid of the technology or going to the outside. You know, one of the things I like to remind people, there's a challenge when you go to the outside. Sometimes egos can get involved and people can feel like it's a threat. You know, are you telling me that I can't do it or I'm not doing it well enough? Well, you know, the good thing about Idaho and some of the other companies we work with is the egos are put aside. And if you have technology that can help us eliminate waste, the result is that we're able to run our transportation operations more efficiently and effectively, and as a result, improve our company. And that's really, you know, from start to finish, Cameron and his team have been very good about that, that genuine desire to see Idahoan improve, become more profitable through better transportation operations. And that's a common theme that we see in each and every company that, you know, wants that sustainable savings or the realization of those sustainable savings.
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to what, you know, both you and Cameron just said, it kind of brings back a thought from our first conversation where kind of alignment of culture is important, right? You want to make sure that
Absolutely.
You're on the same page and they're working towards the same same objective. You know, so Cameron, I mean, you using both Transact's, you know, TMS, so kind of on the technology side, and you're also leveraging their managed services. So let's start with the TMS and the technology side first. I mean, what were some of the key features or capabilities that you were looking for in a solution?
Yeah, there were four key features we needed. The first was, you know, we don't look just at cost or service. We kind of look at a matrix of the two. So we have, for every lane that we ship, we have a ranking based with all of our carriers. So we needed a waterfall tendering process that would take that into account. So that was the key feature for us. Some of the others were, we wanted a self-invoicing process so that we could easily pay our carriers, a dock scheduling process, and we needed a lot of visibility. So we wanted a reporting mechanism that could give us any of the data that we needed.
Wow, there was a lot of things there. So I think I want to kind of dive into some of those things there. So starting with visibility, because that's something that I think is top of mind and top of the list for a lot of shippers, you know. When they talk about a TMS, they want visibility. You know, what type of visibility are you getting and kind of what value is it bringing to you?
Sure. The Transact team's been able to provide pretty much any data we wanted at any interval that we wanted it. But a few examples. So in the food industry, we look at cost per pound. So for every lane, we have a cost per pound, a cost per mile. And so they're able to tell us what those metrics are that we're hitting, and we can compare that to our standards. A few other reports that we look at pretty regularly, carrier on-time performance to our customers, since we're heavily scorecarded in the food industry. We also get a lot of reports on accessorials, so detention, and what are those consignees that might be causing a lot of detention for us. So those are some examples that we look at. You know, the benefits, our finance guys are always trying to get information about how we're performing to budget and what they need to accrue for this month and plan on spending next month. So we use those reports to answer those questions and also to sit down and meet with carriers and provide data to either our carriers and or our customers.
Yeah, no, that's great. Certainly on the reporting side, you know, you hit on some of the key metrics I think that a lot of shippers, you know, look at, particularly in your industry. And it sounds like really it serves as a vehicle, you know, to help drive continuous improvement, right?
Yeah, we can pull that data and look at the last quarter, the last month, or, you know, like I said, we're always looking at it compared to budget.
Great. So Mike, I mean, are you seeing growing demand for visibility and business intelligence from, you know, the companies you work with?
Absolutely. And I think part of that is being fueled by some of the demands that retailers are putting on companies like an Idahoan. For example, Walmart and Target made news when they tightened up their delivery program. You know, one of the things that we just posted in our LinkedIn leadership forum was a question that somebody was asking about the Walmart, what formerly used to be known as the must arrive by date program. Now Walmart has their on time in full program. And what they've done is tighten up the windows associated with when that truck can deliver product. So before we used to have a 2-day window, that period has been shortened. And there are some really key factors that are driving this demand for visibility because it can have a direct impact on your cost of serving that customer. So, you know, Cameron could, you know, talk about, for example, the whole chargeback issue. One of the gentlemen that Cameron worked with, Mark Pataska, we used to always kid and say that chargebacks were, in essence, a profit center for retailers. Well, one of the things we're finding out, for example, with the Walmart program, is that the carriers have a very tight window. If a carrier gets there 2 to 3 hours before that window is open, that carrier has to sit, which is why some of the customers that we see are getting pushback from some of their carriers about deliveries into a Walmart, for example. Now, Walmart's a great company, and they have a great way of doing business, but it puts pressure and demands on their suppliers. And so one of the ways we get involved in helping companies with the visibility is to provide them with information about when the truck actually showed up, what happened when the truck got there, what's happening with the truck while the goods are in transit. And I think, Adrian, as we go forward, we're going to continue to see a lot more focus and emphasis on that visibility. I mean, there are things that are happening today that we see happening down in the future where you can track boxes within the pallet type thing. And so the demand for that, I think, is going to only get greater as companies like Idaho and have customers that, you know, are basically putting increased requirements on them. And so, you know, it used to be you could just show up within a certain period, everything was cool. Today, it's a lot different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the things that we talked about in the previous episode as well was kind of the move toward, you know, predictive analytics, right? And
absolutely,
having that advanced visibility, because you know, the margin for error or and the cost of driving blind is certainly increasing, you know, year after year, as you just talked about there. Cameron, I want to go back to something else you talked about as well, and that is, you know, you mentioned dock scheduling, which I think for a lot of shippers tend to overlook in kind of its role and importance, so it's not kind of top of the priority list, but I think in a lot of cases it's a very critical part of the process. I mean, why was this capability, you know, important for you guys, and what benefits does it provide?
Sure. So if you look at our organization, we have a few local, you know, we have quite a few local warehouses, and so prior to having a dock scheduler, a carrier would have to call the warehouse to make an appointment. But the corporate office wanted to know when the trucks were coming in, so we'd have shared spreadsheets, and just, it was very confusing. You think about a two-pick load, a carrier might call the first warehouse and get an appointment, and they call the second warehouse and an appointment doesn't work for them. So with the dock scheduler, a carrier can go online, make an appointment at both facilities, escalate to us if there's any issues, but they can do all of that work without having to have clerks sitting at every warehouse waiting for them to call. So some of the benefits we've seen, like I said, is not having to have the clerks that are taking the calls. But another big benefit has been less chances for confusion and detention. And so there's recording, you know, tracking capabilities to know when the carrier made the appointment and what appointment they made for. So it takes out all that doubt out of the process.
Now, with kind of the visibility that we just talked about, when you look at things like, you know, detention, you know, charges and things like that, is that something you've seen a positive improvement on as a result of putting the dock scheduling in?
Yeah, we've seen a large reduction in detention. And you know, it's tough to be a driver in this industry right now at this time. And our drivers seem to be, the drivers that come to us seem to be much happier because they know when their appointment is and we take care of them at that time. And everything's a lot clearer.
That's a great point there. I mean, there's so much. One of the things that the industry has talked a lot about over the past few years is in terms of, you know, being a carrier friendly shipper, right? Because at the end of the day, particularly, you know, you never know when capacity is going to get really tight again, right? And certainly it is tight in some industries and some lanes already, right? So being a shipper of choice for carriers is very important.
Yeah, we also use the dock scheduling tool when a carrier wants to have us load a drop trailer. They want to indicate that they want it preloaded. You know, they can use that dock scheduler to indicate that to us. So it's really helped us become a shipper of choice.
Great. Mike, any thoughts on dock scheduling, what you're seeing there from other shippers?
Yeah, first of all, I apologize for interrupting. When capacity gets tight, we're predicting that 2017 shippers are going to see capacity tighten up. The second thing with the dock scheduler, and Cameron and his team there have been very good about this, you know, in terms of outlining what was important for them. One of the key things that we take a look at is, you know, if I walk into a company and say, tell me what your production line is going to look like for the day, people can give me an idea at the start of the day what their production line is going to look like. So the thought there with the dock scheduler is, if I were to walk onto your docks, tell me what your day is going to look like. What are we expecting to get in? Recently, I was with a company, and it's got, you know, millions of dollars coming into their facilities, and it's a bit chaotic. And one of the reasons it's chaotic is because they're relying on ASNs from their suppliers that they have to aggregate, and they're doing this in a manual environment. Once the data is aggregated, then they have to develop a game plan that basically says, okay, here's what we expect to see. With the dock scheduler, I can walk in at the beginning of the day, and I think, Cameron, perhaps you could confirm this, at the beginning of the day, you know what to expect. And there's a huge advantage associated with being able to plan for that, as well as then to also determine, you know, if there's an exception that comes up, a carrier isn't going to make their window, you know, what are some of the alternatives that we have in order to satisfy the customer? So the dock scheduler is great, but it also highlights things that, you know, I can go to exceptions rather than have to look at 35, 40 loads. What I can focus on are the two or three loads that are going to represent a challenge for my team that day. Is that what you're saying, Cameron, as well?
That's exactly what we're seeing at Idahoan. And you know, another thing is, you know, directors at the corporate office can look at the dock manager and know how all the facilities are operating. You know, if it's 12 o'clock, you can look at all the facilities and see, you know, are we behind or are we ahead of schedule and making sure that we get the work done for the day.
Great, great. Yeah, like I said, this is an area that I think historically has been overlooked by a lot of shippers, but I think more and more companies are starting to pay attention to it because it is such an integral part of the process. Kind of another area, Cameron, that you mentioned that I think is getting more attention today is the whole, you know, freight audit and payment side of things. And you mentioned self-invoicing. Can you describe a little bit about what you're doing there and how you're leveraging the TMS to do that?
Yeah, we didn't want to, you know, we have contracted rates with our carriers, contracted accessorial schedules, fuel schedules, all that. So we didn't find it necessary to continue to make our carriers have clerks that send paper bills. And we all know how expensive it is to process a bill. And so we use a self-invoicing process in the TMS because we already have everything contracted. Everything except for unplanned accessorials are already agreed upon. If those come up, there's a way to get those approved and into the payment process. But essentially, everything flows a lot faster, and we pay the carriers a lot faster because they're not having to create that bill for us. So that saves them time, it saves us time, and we pay them a lot faster. And one of the things I think is important is if you can keep their costs down, you're not going to experience the same rate increases that everyone else is seeing nationally.
Yeah, that's another great point and another component of being a you know, carrier-friendly shipper. Mike, I mean, are you seeing other shippers move in the same direction, you know, implementing, you know, self-invoicing? And kind of is the role of freight audit and payment changing or different today than it was in the past?
Well, the role of freight audit and payment is much different today than it was in the past. There's been a significant evolution. And some of the things that we are seeing, one of those areas where there's been, you know, tremendous changes is what Cameron's talking about, is the whole area of what we call the auto pay process. And once again, you know, to Cameron's credit and Idahoan's credit, what they're really good at is, and one of the reasons they're the profitable company they are, is they're taking a look at where do we eliminate waste. And practically speaking, you know, not for every shipment, but where you have a shipment where there's a high degree of predictability and a high degree of accuracy, instead of having the carrier have to submit a freight bill, we can go ahead and get that freight bill paid off of what's coming off of the TMS. Now, in order to do that, and it's really important because I think some companies would like to think that they're auto pay capable, but practically speaking, they blow through some important controls. What Cameron referred to there is they know the rate at the time of shipment. They have contracts with their carriers. They've screened their carriers. They have defined accessorials. So, when a shipment's being prepared, when it's being tendered to the carrier, when that shipment leaves the dock, we can say with a very high degree of certainty that the cost for that shipment's going to be $500. Now, what Cameron was also referring to is what do you have with the undefined accessorials, things like, for example, what we were just talking about a minute ago, detention. Well, you know, Idahoan has a process whereby they can approve that and get the carrier paid. And so, once again, it involves streamlining their processes. And, you know, one of the things, Adrian, I just do want to highlight, because I think Cameron and Idaho have been very good in this regard, is one of the things we talked about last week was the three P's for sustained transportation savings: practices, processes, and pricing. A lot of companies focus on pricing, but they don't really spend as much time on the processes and practices. And when you spend time there and dedicate yourself to eliminating waste, auto pay is one of the things that just comes up to the surface, and you say, why not do it that way? It's eminently more effective. The carriers get paid in a timely manner. You know, that shipper of choice issue, you can help with the rates that you're getting from the carriers. Idaho, and by the way, not related to a TMS, but one of the things, Cameron, you might just talk about was the cement pad you built for some of your carriers so that they could drop trailers, and how that led to a reduction in cost for Idaho. And could you just briefly hammer on that one for a minute?
Yeah, when I first started with the company, we would have trucks miles all the way to the highway backed up trying to load. And so we spent some money, as Mike mentioned, putting in cement pads, making sure that there was places for them to drop their trailers. And we went from spending thousands and thousands of dollars of detention every month to almost, we have very little detention on the shipping side. We now get to work with some of our customers to see if we can work on the receiving side.
Great. Great. Another great example. I think going back to the freight audit and payment, certainly it's been a topic that we've talked about here at Talking Logistics for quite some time. And, you know, my perspective is that going back to visibility and BI, the wealth of data that comes out of that whole process helps create that feedback loop to provide additional insight into what's happening, you know, into your operations. So Cameron, let's shift gears a little bit now. You know, we've talked about the technology, the TMS, and some of those capabilities you were looking for and how they're providing value. Let's talk now about the managed services component of your relationship with Transact. I mean, what value and capabilities does Transact provide?
Yeah, so when we started up with Transact, we spent a significant amount of time helping them understand our approach and our distribution network. You know, who are our customers? What are our shipping points? And we're unique in that we have unique from some customers in that we have a lot of distribution centers outside of Idaho. So there's a lot of areas for or opportunities for consolidation because we have to get that product out to those warehouses for forward LTL shipments anyway. So the Transact team, like I said, we spend a lot of time with them. As loads come in, they either consolidate those loads with other loads that make sense, or they'll look to our distribution centers to suggest that we send product to them to fill out the truck. So consolidation's been a big one that drives down our costs. You know, some of the other key benefits that the managed service team does for us is they track and trace loads, request PODs when we need them. And like I said earlier, they really manage our business and involve us in the exceptions. You know, and when something needs to be elevated to us, they bring it to our attention.
Yeah, that was going to be my question in terms of the separation between roles and responsibilities. I mean, what do you take the lead on, and what does Transact take the lead on? Or in other cases, companies take the lead on the strategy, on the network design, so forth, and then leave the day-to-day execution and exception management, and then rely on their partners to also help inform their strategy as well. Is that kind of, generally speaking, kind of the breakdown at your end?
Yeah, you know, we have a unique approach. I think when we do business reviews with Transact, they're often suggesting changes, you know, and strategy changes. So they're not afraid to suggest changes based on the data they're seeing. So they always bring that to our attention. And I think on the day-to-day stuff, there's certain things that, you know, when you have to have a conversation with the consignee, they leave that up to us. But we've kind of predefined, you know, what they do and what we do, and it works really well, especially if you spend the time during startup to make sure everyone's clear what the roles and responsibilities are.
Great. Yeah, it goes back to that point, you know, as part of the role being, you know, tell us something we don't already know, right? So
yeah.
So Mike, I mean, is the combination of technology with managed services something that more and more shippers are looking for? I mean, does the scope differ by shipper?
Yeah, and it really is it's determined by the company. The managed services is great. One of the approaches that we have, though, is to come in, and we do not have a predetermined solution that says this is the way we do business. and try and fit a square peg into a round hole type thing. One of the things that, 3 points I want to highlight for you, Adrian. First of all, Cameron and his gentleman they worked with, Mark, and the whole team at Idahoan, they did a great job of outlining their business requirements and their business needs. So that when we initially talked with them, we didn't have the dock scheduler that they needed. We went back, we were heavy into the customization area, and we designed it, and you know it was a good fit for Idahoan. So having that discussion up front is critically important. But one of the other things that we're taking a look at that's, you know, moving into point two is on the manage versus control issue. That's really determined on a company by company basis. And there are some things that Idahoan chooses to retain control over versus have Transact manage. One of the things that we like to remind people is that, you know, and as Cameron has stated there, we can be an extension, basically your back room. And where that comes in handy is, to be very candid and blunt, and I think some of your or most of the people in your audience will appreciate this, getting internal resources within an organization, you might want to have a root canal without Novocaine. It's easier to get the root canal than to justify adding additional staff. So in a managed services platform, you can basically get those resources at a fixed level that allows you the scrutiny to change on a moment's notice or that type of thing. So that's really a blend. But the third thing is, for companies that want to retain 100% control and simply want utilization of the technology, that capability exists in terms of, one of the other things I want to highlight is the managed services side is great, but Idaho, and Cameron, perhaps you could address this, you have retained control over the carrier base. And where that comes in handy is some of our competitors, if you turn over the managed services to them, they're going to determine which carriers haul your freight. The thing that makes us a bit unique, regardless of whether it's controlled or managed, our customers determine 100% of the carriers that are utilized to haul their shipments. And maybe, Cameron, you know, you could just touch on that. They're your carriers. Isn't that correct, I think?
Yeah. We manage all the contracts. We had them in place before our relationship with Transact. And over the years, we've learned, you know, you learn which customers. You know, if you're 10 minutes late to one customer, you're going to sit for an hour. If you're 10 minutes late to another, you might sit a week. And so, you know, knowing who those customers are and which carriers fit into those carriers' lanes was important for us to maintain. And so we keep the contracts and we've helped Transact understand why we pick certain carriers.
Great. Yeah, and I've certainly seen, you know, the growth of that mixture of technology and managed services. Like you said, Mike, every customer is different, and you know it's really a spectrum of, and really looking at you know, what is the desired outcome of the client and what are their specific needs, and then putting together the right mix of technology and the right mix of services to address their specific needs. You know, gentlemen, we're running short on time here, so I'm just going to go right to my last question. And Cameron, I'll start with you first. You know, as a way to wrap up, I mean, what advice would you give to other shippers that are and just beginning their journey to take their transportation performance to a higher level?
Yeah, my advice would be to look, you know, honestly look internally and look at some of the activities we talked about. You know, for a shipper who's still picking up the phone, calling a carrier to see if they'll take a load, or for a shipper who has clerks still, you know, taking appointments via phone or paying paper bills. I mean, those are very expensive activities. Yeah. And as Mike pointed out, change is hard. But if you take an honest look at that, I think people will realize that a good TMS can not only help automate a lot of those more administrative tasks, but it also provides the visibility that you can run and improve your business.
Great advice. Mike, final thoughts.
Yeah, very briefly, Adrian, you know, you touched on it with the last question. And that, I think, you know, we can talk about TMS, we can talk about a lot of another initiatives, but one of the things that we talked about in our previous interview that I just want to underscore is understanding the company culture. You know, for example, what kind of company is probably going to favor a what we call controlled, where they run the software, they make the decisions, et cetera, would be a company that's decentralized, has a lot of different facilities around the country or in North America. And basically, responsibility for the transportation function is vested at a local level. Well, they're going to be ones that want to retain that control because they have ultimate line responsibility. Whereas the managed services may be where a company, one of our customers just recently, they're changing, they're making a huge change where they're going to go to a managed services and basically take responsibility from the local operating units, invest it in a centralized platform. And so, you know, when you're talking about TMS and some of the other things, we like to remind people, as we mentioned in our last interview, culture trumps strategy. And so, you know, if you're doing something which runs counter to the strategy, don't be surprised when the people out at the field willingly or unwillingly do things that subvert the effectiveness. One of the things, and just closing, I want to commend Cameron and Idaho, and one of the things that's really been, you know, great in working with them is going back to what we said at the very beginning. A, they wanted to get better. B, they were willing to make the changes to get better. But C, and most importantly, in terms of execution, their follow-through has been very good. And if there are bumps in the road, they're very clear in communicating what those bumps in the road look like. And, you know, there's, we understand going in that there's this mutual commitment to eliminating waste and improving profitability.
Great, great thoughts. And so again, gentlemen, thank you for making the time to be with us today. Cameron, thank you for you know, sharing your story and kind of how your journey has been and providing some great advice for others listening today. And Mike, always a pleasure having you on the program.
It's a real delight. And Cameron, thank you very much for taking the time to share your insights.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
And thank you all for watching. If you're watching this episode on demand on the Transact website or the Talking Logistics website, and you'd like to ask Mike or Cameron a question, you can post it there, and I'm sure that they'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.